Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Not Without My Sister. I am currently without my sister in Fort Wayne, but my sister is also in Fort Wayne. I am Beatrice McCabe, and you are?
Rosemary McCabe.
Excellent. So today, Rosemary, I was... Today, Rosemary, I was thinking of you as I was visiting an open house for a friend of mine who is potentially looking to move to Fort Wayne. And I was thinking to myself, God, how many open houses have I been to? How many houses have I lived in, etc., etc.? And I was thinking of you, also thinking of moving right now. You've been doing all these home renovations and now you're about to not even reap the benefits of these home renovations because you're thinking of moving yourself, correct?
Absolutely correct. And Brandon's in a frenzy. Today he came in and tore up the carpet in our bedroom. So now our bedroom
with his bare hands. This sounds kind of sexy.
Beatrice, stop being a perv at my fiance. Now our bedroom sounds like an echoey church and is freezing and covered in like dust.
This is bad news. Just when you gave away your whip, you could be hearing
the crop.
You could be hearing the crop echoing through the sex chamber that is now your
mauve-coloured bedroom. Brandon for taking away my carpet.
Oh. More accurate indeed. You could be like, get down on the concrete, creep. And
but basically
him.
Yes, we have decided to move, and we had a realtor come over to the house the other day who told us a few little things that we should do to kind of not necessarily like get a better price but get more in, you know, like be more likely to sell quicker basically.
Oh, it's just
and
so
one
boring.
Of the things was to put carpets. I know, so boring. One of the things was put carpets in our bedrooms, which is incredibly annoying to me because the carpet in our bedroom was disgusting and now it'll be nice and then we'll be moving.
Yeah, but like if you kept it, then you probably would have had, just as we had. We had totally perfect, well, we totally, not perfect. We had grand carpets. And everybody in Fort Wayne loves a cream carpet also. Every carpet is cream or oatmeal. There's not such a thing as like a slightly more practical, darker colored carpet, including the house I was in today. Every carpet is the creamiest color of cream, basically oyster. And we had these cream oyster colored carpets in the other house. And Nash came in one night with a nosebleed and proceeded to flail in the dark with a nosebleed, like age seven.
Poor Nash.
Poor us. We could never get it out of the carpet. And it was just this weird stain. I was down before we were moving. I was down with my nail clippers trying to clip the stain out of the carpet. Didn't work. Surprise, surprise.
That's a good idea. Oh.
Well, no, because we had the professional carpet cleaner. He was like, oh, I've done three rounds on this carpet. I can't get rid of that. It was like, it was very bizarre, whatever it did with the carpet. Anyway, so I thought it'd be interesting to think about, like, what were your, you know, best houses you've ever lived in, worst houses, worst experiences, good landlords, bad landlords, etc. Would you ever move again? Well, you
well,
are
I am moving,
moving again.
I am moving again. But I mean, I would hopefully never... Well, I was going to say I'd hopefully never rent again. But when we first started talking about selling, I was like, oh, we could rent for a few months and be fine.
Is this your forever home? As they like to say on American TV shows, is this your forever home?
Well, according to Brandon, no.
What do you mean?
It's not going to be our forever home. According to Brandon, this is a stepping stone.
Does he call it that?
Yeah.
people are so organized. I can't even cope with it. A forever home never even occurred to me. And also the thought terrifies me. I hate the idea of thinking that like this
you're
is
here forever.
It. Yeah, I had a dream last night where Don died, actually. Yeah, it was very, well, sometimes, never mind. I had a dream anyway last night where he died. But the dream was like, it wasn't me crying, like sobbing over his, you know, casket or anything. It was more just, I was like, oh, I was like, I probably should have appreciated him a bit more. It was like very practical. I was like, I don't think I'm this practical. I was more like, oh, I don't really know what I'm going to do now. It was more of a very bleak dream. And I woke up and I looked over and I was like, God, I should appreciate this guy more. And then this morning I was like, hey, Don, do you have the password for the online banking? And he's like, no, I don't. You're supposed to be in charge of that. I'm not in charge of this. Okay, I'm just paying the bills. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. So all the goodwill from my extremely angsty dream flew out the window in a second and a half.
There's nothing like real life to bring you back down to earth, is there?
Correct. But I was also thinking, and I said to Don the other day, you know what? They say that the most stressful things in your life are having a baby, starting a new job, divorcing, and moving house, right?
And moving, yeah.
Isn't that it? And in our last 1, 2, 3 moves were when we were pregnant and starting a new job and we bought a new house. So the last time, okay, now we had 2 babies here, which was a miracle. But the third baby had, Chance, when we moved here, we were 7 months pregnant. We moved, we bought a new house and we started a new job.
And when you moved to Dallas, you were just about to have Beau, weren't you?
We were 6 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Moved, started a new job, bought a new house. And actually bought 2 new houses in the time. Rented a house and then moved when he was a month old. And then prior to that, we were 6 months pregnant, not starting a new job, 6 months pregnant with Nash when we bought our house in New York. And... But I mean,
I thought you had that house for a bit longer before you had Nash.
Maybe like a couple, maybe 3 months pregnant, but like earlier maybe. But we were pregnant
though. Yeah.
I feel like though it wasn't ever the. I don't know. I like a bit of excitement. So, but here you are
actually.
Now. Here you and are doing the same thing.
But I think you thrive on the kind of like thrill of planning and working at logistics, and like I think you enjoy the kind of. No, you do. There's something about, I can see it lights a fire. I hate all that.
There is no planning. That's when you go, you love planning. I'm like, no, I don't. I go, oh, it'll be grand. This will be fine. What day are we moving? Wednesday, grand. What do we need to get done by then? Grand. And like, I mean, I actually counted up. How many houses did I tell you I've lived in? 23, something like that. I have to count. 29.
Oh, yeah, but like what I mean is when you go, this is what we have to get done, grand. When I go, this is what we have to get done. I go, oh my God, we're never going to get it done. Oh my God, I need to go and sit down. You know what I mean? Like I get in a panic.
Yeah, but like, I don't think
you're better.
I'm not organized. No. I was more thinking that I've been in like 29 different houses. And what I actually was more about to say was that I'm still amazed by how absolutely crap I am at moving house and anticipating all the things that need. I'm very like fly by the seat of your pants last minute. Whereas I think you'll actually do this very organizedly. Like the fact that you even have most of your house repairs done before you're moving now is amazing to
me. Well, yeah, we have a list. Brandon got a light repaired today and he was like ticking that off the list to light with himself.
Oh my God. Maybe Brandon can come over and fix some of our stuff.
I read something yesterday on my new favorite Instagram account, at the folding lady, which just does a lot of folding.
Oh God, you love
that. I know, I do love it. She was moving house and she was talking about different tips that she got from people. And one of the tips was that somebody had basically color coded their rooms for the movers. So instead of saying, this is the sitting room, you know, bedroom, whatever, they'd just gone to the blue room, the red room, and then all the boxes for the blue room were blue. And then in the new house, they'd put a blue sticker on what they wanted to be the blue room in the new house, if you know what I mean. And they said that that really helped. But I don't think we have enough stuff to actually do that.
What's the difference between writing kitchen, sitting room?
I think it really helped when they had more than one bedroom because they'd be like bedroom 1, bedroom 2, bedroom 3. So it was actually the bedrooms were coloured, you know what I mean? Rather than them trying to figure out which one is bedroom 1 again. I don't know. Listen, I'm just relaying what I saw on Instagram and I might be relaying it wrong. But
well, we got these really convenient rolls of sellotape, like sellotape-ish. And they had stickers on them and it was like kitchen, 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 right? And they're really good. And I bought them about 6 months before we were moving.
Lost them.
Yeah, totally lost them. Had them about 2 days before we were moving, then totally lost them. Obviously packed them.
Did they ever turn up?
No. I mean, they turned up after we moved and I immediately put them in the bin because I was like, useless. But I mean, I should have kept them because then we moved again about
for the
2 years
move.
Later. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I was just so annoyed with them by the time I saw them again.
Little did you know. So what's your, like, do you have any top tips for moving? You look very panicked at the thought. Did you pack and move your own house the last time or did you get movers to pack everything? You know what I mean?
We packed most of our own stuff and then the movers came and packed like the last bits of stuff. But the movers would honestly make you think, like, if you could afford movers, you shouldn't bother doing it yourself. Because not because they're like, yes, they're quick, but also because they just, like, I start packing and I'm like, oh, this shouldn't really go in this box. This should go in that box. Do I really need this? Does this make sense? Oh, this is really precious. But this is mom's cup. Oh, Dawn, look, this is mom's cup. Whereas really what the movers do is they just go, oh, piece of dirt, wrap it in a piece of paper, put it in the box. Absolute piece of crap, wrap it in a piece of paper, put it in the box.
What I always end up doing is one thing reminds me of another thing that I can't find. And I'm like, oh, I need to find the other thing. You know what I mean? Then I spend half the day toddling around the house trying to find the fourth cup to go in this set or whatever it is.
We did. Well, we got movers a couple of times because, you know, work moved us. And so, but at the same time,
you also had three kids at that point.
No, we did most of our own moving that time. But I mean, I honest to God, you get used to them. Like I was saying to Don, I don't even hear their screams anymore. Right. Honest to God, I read books. I read a thing yesterday in the Style magazine. It was like, oh, now that I have kids, I never get to read a book anymore. I was like, I read loads of books. I only am just reading a great book today. But as I was reading the book.
Do you know the name of it?
No, but it's really entertaining. I'll post it later in the show notes.
Okay.
It's actually really good, genuinely.
Listen, you're looking around like, where
the protagonist's name is Darren. Okay, so I was actually paying attention. Yeah, Darren, and he's a ranger. He's a Texas Ranger. Anyway, it's very good. But I realized as one of my kids, mom, 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 and I wasn't hearing it. I was hearing it more as a like, duh, 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 duh. And then finally I turned around, I was like, what? Mom, I've called your name 18 times. And I was like, oh, are you fine?
This
are
was
you
Beau, was it?
Yeah, I was like, are you hurt? No. I'm like, well, then you're Grant. But like, it's, you know, I don't really hear them anymore. So when we were moving, I didn't really hear them as much. Although you have to be careful. Obviously, you don't want them like running out in the road between the trucks, etc.
And like falling under a box. Yeah.
Yeah. But they were grand. I mean, useless in terms of moving. Absolutely useless. And they like to take everything out. The minute you find, you know, you're like, don't touch this box now. It's packed full of toys. Don't touch it. What's this? I haven't seen this Superman for 4 years. Put it back in the box. Stop playing.
Oh my God.
With it.
Listen.
What's this?
I made the mistake a couple of weeks ago. Well, Brandon and I made the mistake together of we were going through some of the boys' toys and going, oh, we haven't seen them play with this in ages. They haven't played with this. This is a bit young. We'll just get rid of, you know, we'll just like, give some things to charity. And we made the mistake of leaving the box open in the garage. And of course, as soon as they came home, they come traipsing into the house with like 16 toys under each arm going, look what we found in the garage. Our favorite toys.
Like, yeah, but it's also that miracle of like back. How kids can go to other kids' houses and be like, oh my God, they have the most amazing toys. You're like, you have all those same toys downstairs, but like they hold none of the, but I mean, I guess it's normal. I did actually though, I was delighted to see, okay, so not related to house moving, but you remember that time I got like, into trouble in my friend's house for the fact that like a Barbie and a Ken were found on top of each other in the Barbie house, and I was sent home. Do you remember this?
I don't remember that.
And it was absolutely not. Yeah, and it was absolutely not me. It was the older sibling in the house had 100% put Barbie and Ken into coitus interruptus in the bed. Yeah. Well, I went upstairs.
You got sent home for that? What age were you?
Like 6, 7. I don't know. 11. I don't know. No, like 7. And I found, well, anyway, up in Beau's bed, I found Daredevil with his long snaky tongue and Spider-Man in a massive embrace. And Daredevil's long snaky tongue is like right in Spider-Man's mouth. And I was delighted. I held them in exactly that pose, carried them into Dawn as evidence. It was not just me. I couldn't help it. It was genetic. I was delighted.
Oh my God. I hope you took a photo for Beau's 21st.
Oh God, I should have. Well, I tried to show it to Don. He was like, not. He didn't really get the importance of it. But anyway, back to moving house. So where was the very first place you ever lived after moving out from home?
Does student accommodation count? Because I went to college in Galway. Yeah, so I moved out from home into like student flats.
Yeah. And you had a great time, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a grand time.
Okay. That didn't look like a great time. But when did you live with your two friends?
Which two friends? Kira and Fran?
Yeah.
Oh, well, so after first year, basically... In second and third year of college, I lived with different friends. I think in second year, I lived with Antoinette and her sister, Donna. And then in third year, I lived with Kira and Fran. And then we lived together that summer. We stayed down in Galway for the summer. And I worked at the cheese shop. And that was nice, actually, because it was Fran's parents' house in Galway. So, you know, you have a little bit more, you're a little bit more relaxed when you're, well, because Fran was living there with us, so she was more relaxed. And it's not like, like when you're living in a landlord's house, you're always like, oh my God, like I bashed the mirror off the wall and chipped off a bit of paint. I'm going to have to tell the landlord. You know, when you, like when you're really young. Whereas when we were in Fran's house, we were like, everything's grand. Fran's here. It's her fault.
When you're really young, I feel like that's, it's more that I feel like it's hard to know. I was talking about this with somebody today. Like, it's hard to know. Like, I think you always, you ascribe your own sentiment and your own way of behaving to your landlord, right? So I always think that my landlords in general in life are honest, are decent people, want to give you the benefit of the doubt, you know, and in reality, that's not at all the case. They're just human people. They're good, they're bad, they're indifferent. Like, they're all different. I think that must have been nice. I've never lived in somebody's house that owned it. I've only ever rented from people. And like, I've had a couple of houses. Yeah, I've had a couple of houses that were like super anonymous. I don't think the landlord was ever an issue. And I never thought about that, never came into contact, paid my rent, left, etc. But there were a couple where I feel like it wasn't, you know, wasn't very good. Like, I remember the one in New York, Don and I, our first apartment together, we got this apartment. It was a terrible apartment. Like, it was in Carroll Gardens down in Brooklyn. And it was right beside the train, like literally right next door to the train. And there was no insulation. Like, it was a total thing. It shouldn't have been an apartment kind of thing, you know, and they never advertised. Yeah. And it was really expensive. And it was totally infested with mice. And I would call them up and be like, hey, there are mice everywhere. So what do you want me to do about it? You're like, I'd like you to come and do, you know, like, I don't know, get rid of them.
Get the exterminator or whatever.
Exactly. And every time you'd call them, it would be like, you know, well, that's your problem. You're going to have to pay that. I expect you to pay that. And then like, I expect you to pay me an extra $50 for the fact that you phone called me and told me about this problem kind of thing, you know. And then I remember one time I called him because there was a fire in the building down the road from us. And I realized that our fire escape was, they'd built the kitchen. They'd actually put the kitchen units on top of the fire escape. So you'd have to, like, you couldn't get out to the fire escape. They'd blocked it up. And I called him up and I was like, hey, I don't think this is okay. Like, I need you to come and unlock. And it was all locked up and boarded. And I was like, I need you to come and unboard this window. And it was like, you know, the biggest drama ever. And then when we moved out.
Did he do it?
He came and like took the iron bars off the outside. Right. But like, they were leading into a corridor. It wasn't like these iron bars were out to the main road, you know, which is where you have iron bars.
Like,
and then I remember we moved and we did break the lease, right? So we did break the lease and we said like, hey, we're really sorry. We have to break this lease because we were buying a house. And he was like, oh yeah, no problem. Like, that's fine. And then, you know, we paid him, I think, an extra $500. And then we asked for a security deposit back. And he's like, no, sorry, you're not getting that back. I said, why not? And he goes, well, if you look in the, he goes, you broke the lease. And I said, yeah, but we had a conversation. He goes, doesn't matter. I'm still keeping the still keeping the security deposit. And I said, oh, well, I also had like some other security deposit and some other cash. And he goes, oh, we're keeping that because there's a $500 move out charge. Sorry if you didn't read the contract. You're like, why would you have a move? Like, you didn't help us move out. I was like, I thought that meant you would help us move out. He goes, no, it's the privilege of you moving out basically is a $500 charge. So even if you did everything right and he'd given you back your security deposit, he still would be charging you $500 for the like privilege. Of you moving your own furniture out of your own apartment. And I said, like, this really seems dishonest. Like, I don't think this seems okay. And he's like, I'm a lawyer. You're welcome to take me to court. Okay. I'm not about to, but like, you know, just creep.
There's nothing worse than a lawyer.
Mm. Well, I mean, they're helpful too. But like, in that case, nothing worse than a lawyer who is also your landlord.
I've been really lucky because the house that I rented most recently in Dublin, and I was in for, I think, 8 years, like, I got on really well with the landlords. And, you know, I kind of went through a few. So when I first moved in, it was with my ex-boyfriend and then he moved out and a friend moved in and then another friend moved in and then I got another boyfriend and he moved in. You know, I like to go through the boyfriends. But like, I think at the very beginning, they were a bit like, oh, like, I think when the first ex and I broke up and someone else moved in, they were a bit like, oh, this is a bit. And, you know, like, they wanted like references from the new person. And then after that, they just let me do whatever. You know, they were just like, you handle it. Because they trusted me. They were very nice. But then there was the place that I mentioned before where after there was the big snow and the ceiling started melting and he was basically like, you're not getting your deposit back because you moved out and you broke your lease, blah, blah, blah. And then I basically was like, you're not registered with the Residential Tenancies Board. And I'm going to have to get in touch with them and just check that this is all above board. He was like, you can have your money back. never want to hear from you again. That was great.
Until he friended you on LinkedIn.
Until he tried to friend me on LinkedIn, yeah. But other than that, like, I lived with, I'm trying to think, like, probably one of my favourite houses was, I lived with a friend of mine in Stony Batter in a really nice house, like a really nice tiny cottage. And I loved that house. It had a gorgeous kitchen, just a really nice cosy.
Is that the one where, like, they kept, like, breaking your windows of your car?
Yeah. Well, my bike got stolen and my car windows got broken. But listen, can't have everything. My bike got stolen outside my most recent house as well. And my car windows got stolen. And they tried to hotwire my car and failed and just drove it into a, like, just basically rolled it into a lamppost.
They stole your windows. They stole your car windows.
No, they smashed the car windows, including the windscreen, and tried to hotwire the car and then just obviously took the handbrake off and rolled it into a lamppost.
No, you said they stole your car windows.
Oh, did I? Well, I meant they broke. They smashed them. But no, sorry. This one was really nice with the really nice kitchen, except that my bedroom, my bed was up on a platform, which is fine, right? Because it's actually kind of cozy and it reminds me of Santa Claus, the movie, when they climb into the bed in the wall. You know, and they have the little bed, yes, in the cupboard. Yeah, yeah. It always seems really cozy. But the problem is nobody ever talks about it. You're trying to change the sheets, Beatrice.
Well, I don't know. Have I mentioned before the bed that Don and I had on a platform? I think I mentioned that Mom and Dad were laughing.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Did I? It was the one in Cobble Hill, and we had this teeny tiny, like, there was a big sitting room and a kitchen and a very nice back garden, and then there was kind of a hallway down to the bathroom.
It was kind of a long apartment, wasn't it?
Because they're all, you know, the full length of these kind of old fashioned houses, and there was this long corridor, and on the left of the corridor there was, like, what anybody else would reasonably call storage space and what I called a study, and then above it a bedroom. And we put a mattress up on the top, kind of mezzanine. A platform wide enough to hold a queen mattress, and the stairs up to it just had, like, you just went up the stairs. There was a bookshelf on one side and you went up the stairs. There was, like, a hole in the platform and you climbed up onto the platform, and it wasn't high enough to stand up or anything. It was just high enough to basically lie down and go to sleep.
Mine wasn't high enough to stand up on either.
And I remember Don and I had just started dating, right? And we were in the throes of, like, you know, impressing each other and acting super cool and all that kind of stuff, right? God, I don't know. You were, like, worried what I was going to say there. Just impressing each other is what I was going to say.
Well, because you said in the throes of, and I was like, oh, God.
T-H-R-O-E-S, Rosemary. Not throes.
You know, but I thought you were going to say the throes of passion.
Oh, no.
Jesus, go on. I'm not that thick.
Oh, are you not?
T-H-R-O-E-S.
Anyway, and so we're up on the platform asleep, right? And in the middle of the night, Don goes to go downstairs to go to the bathroom, entirely nude, totally goes to downstairs, entirely misses the ladder, just fell from the platform down to the ground, like the most shameful looking fall. I hear this shriek. I look down, you see this entirely, like, flesh colored human just sprawled up upon the ladder.
Poor Don. God,
so
you were obviously very
bad.
Sympathetic.
I wasn't. I laughed so hard.
You're like, we were in the throes of trying to impress each other. He heard himself and I laughed. I laughed and laughed.
You should have seen him though, God bless him. And also, like, there was no space to even fall. Like, he fell down, like, the legs up in the air over his shoulder.
And was he trying to style it out and be like, I'm fine?
Oh, yeah, he was totally acting cool. Oh, he's like, oh, never mind. The back thrown
poor
out.
Poor Don.
That was a great house. That was a great house. And we moved to go to the other house, the desperate landlord. We moved because we thought we'd have more room, but we should have stayed where we were, because even though we had no room, it was such a much nicer house and a much better location.
You didn't have so the that's. Mice.
Yeah, we know, but also it was just, like, much more pleasant, you know? You know, like, when you're not, when you're in a house you like, even if it's tiny, I recommend staying there. Like, don't go for more if you don't think, you know what I mean? If you don't really need it. Because, I mean, I think we went because we were like, oh, Mom and Dad will come and visit and blah, blah. But when they came and visited, then all we wanted to do was get out of the apartment, because the other one had the back garden, you see. It had the back garden and we could go out there and have parties. And this one was on the third floor. And so you were always just trapped in the apartment, which was so unpleasant, especially in a city where, like, you know, there's no greenery around you.
Yeah, yeah. And you had Clone, the dog, didn't you?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like,
well, we had dogs.
Yeah, so
dog,
you keep bringing him out. It's hard.
Yeah.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Have you ever, so I was wondering today as I went to view this house for my friends who then put in an offer on it, and apparently their offer was accepted. And I thought, like, it's pretty brave, right? Buying a house sight unseen via Skype.
Unseen.
And I hope.
Trusting you.
Via FaceTime. Well, I hope they don't hate me now for it. No, I mean, they liked it, and then they had their realtor walk through it, and then they were pretty on board with it, and then I walked through and kind of gave them like my, you know, but I think like we have
two
different
cents,
tastes,
yeah.
You know, so it was a bit like, what else do you want to know? You know, what else? But I mean, it is a very nice house. But have you ever rented a house? Or like, I think this is very much more common now with COVID that people are doing things that, you know, and making decisions via video chat that they wouldn't have before.
So are you asking, like, have I ever rented a house without seeing it?
Yeah.
No. I'm trying to think. No, like I haven't gone to see that many houses, because most of the places that I'd gone to see, you know, if they were in my budget and I had an idea that they'd be nice, most of the places that I went to see, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll take it. There were a couple of times where I said, oh yeah, I'll take it. And then they were like, oh, sorry, we went with another girl.
What?
I know, rude. There was one
it's
time.
It's like that movie Shallow Grave. Did you ever watch that with Ethan? What's his name? That's not his name.
Ewan
McGregor.
Ethan Hawke?
Ewan McGregor.
No.
Where they have the flatmates, and they're all like they're looking for an extra flatmate, and they do the interview all these people, and they're so mean to them, right? Like, it's unbelievable. They're like, you can tell they're just like a loser, and you're like, God, that, like, I'd be totally the interviewee. I've
God,
never
I hope
been on
nobody
the side
was
of
like loser to me.
I mean, Rosemary,
probably were.
I mean,
I think at the time I also worked from home, and like one of the houses I went to see, it was two nurses and a teacher. And I kind of got the impression that they were a bit like, oh, you'll be at home all the time, which, like, fair. Do you know what I mean? Like, I never liked living
What's
when
the problem
were
with you being at home
either.
All the time? Maybe they'd be like, you could be at home all the time and you'll be cleaning because you won't be working.
Well, no, I was working from home. I think the concern really was that I actually think somebody might have said this to me once, but basically that I'd be at home all day and have the electricity on and the heat on, which I totally would have.
Were they following you on Instagram when you were doing your curly girl? Were they going to be like, she's going to have the immersion running all day, she's going to be washing her hair nonstop,
she'll
be drying her hair and styling it all day long?
This was way before that. When I was doing curly girl, I was letting it dry naturally. I was very low energy. I was very energy efficient.
Very low energy. That's a Freudian slip if ever I heard.
Well, yeah,
one.
Very low energy.
I was very low energy.
I was going to say, actually, there was one apartment that I went to see that looked amazing, and it was on North Great George Street, which I love, really nice street off Parnell Street in Dublin. And I remember I went to see it, and so you went in through one of these, you know, they're like the big Georgian houses basically, and you went through, and then I realized you went through the house out the back, and somebody had built a block of apartments basically in their back garden.
I went to see one of those as well in Brooklyn, yeah, and we went through, and I was like, oh my God, this house is amazing. God, I had the exact same experience. And then we went through and basically into, like, what can only be called, what my mother would call a latrine with a window and a bed. And I was like, what is this? They're like, oh yeah, you know, like $3,000. And I was going, I thought I was like renting the entire gaff. Like I thought this was, and I didn't even think that, but I also didn't think, I have to tell you, like I thought it was good value, but not like cheap. And then out the back, there's this like plywood, you know, lean to. It was hideous.
Same. Now, like the apartment that I went to see was actually, once you got into it, it was a really nice apartment. It was really nicely decorated. It looked lovely. Like, and it was really nicely furnished and stuff. But I remember there were loads of us queuing up. So, you know, you like get in touch with the estate agent or whatever and they go, come at 8 o'clock. There was about 30 of us there at 8 o'clock. They didn't arrive till 8:30. And then all 30 of us traipse in. I mean, it's unimaginable now in COVID times, but all 30 of us traipse into this tiny apartment. And you can't really see anything and you're kind of walking and you're trying to ask the estate agent questions. But the estate agent was all eyes for this couple with a baby that I think he was like, this is a nice young professional couple. And I was there on my own. I think I was looking for like me and Kira or me and a friend or something. And I think the estate agent had seen like one or two basically good prospects and was just
absolute
paying
knobs. Actually, you reminded me just there of like a couple of houses that a couple of apartments that I went to see when Julie and I were living in Milan. And, you know, I had an apartment. Where was I? Oh, yeah, I had an apartment and she was looking for one. She her boyfriend at the time had moved back to Ireland. She was looking now to downsize. You know, she couldn't afford the apartment by herself. Like it was a pretty big apartment. She was looking for something else and also closer to work. I remember we went to a couple of things and it was literally like, this is the sewing closet. And we've shoved a bed into it. And, you know, we'll be over here and you could be in here for like equal, you know, equal rent. And it's just ridiculous, the things that people think they can get away with. And probably they do, because some people probably are desperate enough. But there were a couple of things that I remember when I was in Milan and I went to look for apartments. And I actually got my apartment through my job. Like when I was working at Fiorucci, I met a couple, a girl, and she was like, oh, my friend lives in Milan and she's looking for a flatmate. So like it was all through word of mouth. So I was lucky.
Yeah.
But when I went on my Erasmus, I obviously had to go and find one by myself. And it was a nightmare, right? Because I also didn't speak Italian. But the amount of people who were like, the living space is for me and my boyfriend. And we're renting this bedroom at the end of the hall. And like the bedroom was, and you know, and you can come into the into the kitchen between the hours of 8 and 10 p.m. And you're like, I don't really understand. Like, if you don't want a flatmate, you know, don't get
figure
one,
out but something
like,
else.
Yeah, but this isn't really okay. It was very, very odd. And like incredibly uncomfortable as well, because you're like, I don't really know why you're interviewing me as well if you're planning to never see me. Wouldn't you just be grand?
Yeah, to never see or speak to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
And like also, what would stop you if you moved in just being like, lads, I'm watching Home and Away. Do you want to sit down? You know what I mean? Like what was going to stop you? It was not like they were going to kick you out. Like, well, they might have tried.
Oh, God, it'd be so awkward. Imagine sitting in the sitting room trying to watch the TV when they're like, they're glaring. But I mean, how would you get in? They probably put a lock on the door.
Oh, it was so awkward. I lived in a house for a while with the owner who was like basically subletting the second bedroom in her house. And she was really nice. The house was lovely. But I think I always just felt a little bit like, this is your house and I just live in the other bedroom. Do you know what I mean? That you always felt like, or I always felt like, and I, you know, like I think as well, it was because that was pretty soon after I moved home from college. So I didn't have any of my own stuff or anything. So I moved in and like all the crockery, all the cutlery, all the everything was hers. You know what I mean? Everything in the house. I didn't have any art. I didn't have any books that I was moving around. If you know what I mean? I was just leaving everything in mom and dad's house still. So I never really made a stamp on it. But I think then when I got housemates, when I was in the most recent house, I kind of always tried to go, hey, if you want to move anything around, feel free, or like let me know if you want more space, or let's make more space on the bookshelves if you want to hang any paintings. You know what I mean? To always go like, this is your house too.
Do you think they would perceive you as being that reasonable and that generous?
Yeah, I don't know. As I was saying that, I was wondering, like there was one housemate I had who I came home one day and she basically just rearranged everything and put a whole load of my like home decor in a drawer. She was just like, I just didn't like that. And I was a bit like, okay, but also like kind of fair play. Like it was funny. You know what I mean?
So have you ever
at the time I was probably raging.
Have you ever owned a house before? Is this your first house?
No, and I won't even own this. Brandon will. I'll never own a house.
Why will you not own it?
Because I can't get on the mortgage yet because I don't have 3 years of accounts here. I don't have any credit rating. So I would just damage his chances, his mortgage chances. I'm a liability, Beatrice.
But I presume the two of you, it's your house, right? So is this your first
house?
Is this your first house that you're buying?
Yeah.
You've never bought a house before?
No. I tried to buy an apartment years ago, basically just right before the recession. when I was working at the Irish Times and I felt very rich. I mean, I probably was very rich by standards of like any other 23-year-old. And they were selling, you know, the apartments at Herberton where the old Fatima mansions were. And they were up for sale. And myself and Dad went to see one. They were gorgeous. And they had all these plans for like there was going to be a super value underneath. And there was going to be, you know, this cafe was going here. This cafe was going there. And there was going to be a gym and 24-hour concierge. Not concierge, but like security. And then I didn't get the mortgage. I think, like, listen, probably I had too many like, what's that you're buying on my bank account? But I think it was also like I hadn't got quite enough, 3 years of steady earnings or like whatever they were looking for. So I didn't get the mortgage. But literally about 6 months after I essentially tried to buy it, the recession happened. None of the shops moved in. They had huge problems with like, because it was all kind of derelict, they had huge problems with graffiti and with vandalism. The management company never properly moved in because they didn't have the right number of flats occupied and stuff. So it was actually lucky that I didn't end up buying it. But I really wanted to, and the apartments were gorgeous.
My first apartment that I bought, thanks for asking, was with Julie in Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we bought our house together, our apartment, and we loved it. It was in the 11th.
It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. It was two bedroom, teeny tiny kitchen, really nice big sitting room, dining room, we used it, and just one shared bathroom. But it was we loved it. It was so nice.
Was this the apartment where the pompiers broke into the kitchen?
No, that was our rental apartment before that.
Oh.
Yeah. No, this one was, we were much more mature. No, we weren't at all.
Oh, and then you became a landlord for a while, didn't you? Like you rented it out after
you
left.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Well, actually, that's why we ended up selling it. It was a nightmare because we left and we rented it out. We left, we moved to America and we rented it out like with an agency. Mm-hmm. And then because like America and France are extremely different. Like in America, it's like the companies are, you know, you're in charge. If you're the business owner, you have the best deal. But if you're the individual in France, you have many more rights, which is fine, right? Like, and I actually don't mind it, but it wasn't good for us owning the apartment.
If you're the renter, basically, you have more rights in France. Oh,
so we had to give them a year's notice if we wanted them to leave, right? Which we never did. But anyway, they left and they only had to give us like 2 months notice and they said, oh, we're leaving. And then we tried to get, you know, we had to go and get other people to move in, and it was all very, actually also our agents were pretty crap because we, you know, I would call them up. Oh yeah, actually I would call them up and be like, hey, and this is obviously in French, I'd be like, hey, you know, can you get somebody to go over and see the house and see if what needs to be done? Do we need to paint it? Do we need to do anything? What house? I'm like, our apartment that we're renting out through you. Well, like, do you know the names of these guys? I'm like, no, you told us they're moving out. You know, this kind of thing. We're just like, oh my God, like absolute ineptitude. Yeah. And so it went on, and then they were like, oh, well, they're moving out. They want this. They don't want that. They're not moving. Oh, yeah. They're considering leaving. They're considering staying. And we were like, okay, well, can you go over and have a look at the house? And they come back and they're like, oh, seems like they weren't maybe planning to leave. But then when we came over, they spooked. Now they want to leave next month. It was like a total mess, right? Then it was the summertime and we were very anxious to get somebody to come because we had been the whole
new
time. To get new tenants. Because even though they'd been renting it, it had never actually made up the amount of the mortgage, right? So we'd always been paying each of us like an extra, I think it was between us kind of $1,000, right, a month. So it was like $500 a month, which is actually a lot, right?
A lot, when you're, yeah.
And especially when Don and I then had another mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. And like, I'd love to still have it. I really still regret that we don't have it, but we just couldn't afford it, you know? Mm-hmm, anyway, mm-hmm. so then we're trying to find somebody else to rent it. Then they're like, oh, well, we'll try and find somebody to rent it. So they're like being absolutely crap. So finally I get Mom on the phone, who's like a fluent French speaker. And I go, Mom, will you get on the phone and call these guys and like give them what for? She calls me back. Bad news. I go, what do you mean bad news? Well, I didn't really make a lot of headway. I go, well, like what happened? Well, I called them up and I said, hello. And they said, hello. I said, well, I'm calling on behalf of Julie and Beatrice and I'd like to talk about, and they said, it's August, madame. And she goes, okay, well, like, so what? And she goes, well, like, okay, I'm aware it's August. Well, you know, can you help me with, we are not open, madame. It is August. We are on vacation. She goes, but you're in the office. Oui, madame, bien sûr. Somebody has to be in the office. We can't leave the office unattended. She goes, well, can you answer my question? It is August. We do not work in August. She's like, well, why are you in the office? Because you cannot leave the office unattended. And like, it was this like ridiculous circular conversation. So finally, anyway, Julie and I, well, I think probably I more strongly than Julie at the time, but I needed to put it on the market. And it was like really gut-wrenching, as they say, but because we loved it and it's such nice memories and I would love to still have it, but it just wasn't practical, you know, in terms of...
You know what's such a pity? If it had been 5 years later, you could have probably got an agency to do Airbnb in it and made your money easily.
Yeah. And then had
it free when you wanted it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but even like just even the management of like France is just, you know, very complicated in terms of the laws. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just even trying to, you know, it's like what happened was like we kept getting kind of unforeseen charges because it was a condo. It was basically a co-op, right? So even though you owned it, you were part of like a cooperative, and you know, and so it was, we got a kind of a totally out of the blue bill for like $5,000 of like, oh, they're replacing the roof on building four,
repairs and stuff.
Like we were building one, but you were part of a cooperation of like seven buildings. And it was like, oh, they're replacing the roof on building four. Oh, they're changing the staircase on building three. And you're like, oh my God, like can't afford this at all. I mean, of course it benefits you when it's like, we're renovating your building. But,
and it's improving the area and more people are moving in. But when you're not living there, it's less.
I mean, I think I totally would love to have kept it, of course. But it was not to be. Same as our apartment house in Brooklyn.
The house in Brooklyn was gorgeous. But like, you know what as well? If you'd kept it especially the one in Paris. I think if you had kept it, you would have thought you'd get back much more often. But sure, now you've got four kids.
No, I mean, we'd barely be back. But even like New York, I wish we could have kept it and rented out. But I also am not like, I'm not blind to the just nightmare of management. It would have been because the house we had was not in good condition. It would have been nonstop renovations, you know.
It would have been nonstop leaks and like the pipes are frozen.
I mean, our house that we live in is already a nightmare. Like you saw yesterday, I sent you a picture of the leak from the thawing ice, and it's like, you know, you just, I mean, I'm not used to this. I'm used to Kildare, this is what the weather is like, right? Fort Wayne, I do not know. I mean, I actually asked people in the office. I was like, hey, is like, are there things I'm supposed to do? I said, like, I just have a massive leak in the ceiling now that the ice is thawing. And actually the last time we had an ice storm and the ice thawed, we had to get the roof replaced. Do you remember we had like 12 leaks? We replaced the roof, $25,000 not covered by insurance, right? So fine. And I'm like, well, that's it. We're never going to have another problem until, well, actually the best part was I'm downstairs in the basement working at the moment with work from home. I'm on a meeting. I'm three meetings in. Don comes down with a cup of coffee for me very nicely and goes, what's this? Turn around. The entire ceiling to my left is like brown. There's massive leak on the floor. The floor is soaked. The whole thing's leaking. I have been on my Zoom calls oblivious.
So it's not just your children you can ignore. It's literally everything. This is a skill you inherited from Philip McCabe.
You're right.
You're in a cocoon of concentration. You can't see anything outside of it.
God, but like how I came down that morning, like I wasn't on a call when I walked down into my office-ish.
Thinking, whose eyebrows am I going to imitate today?
I did my makeup and everything while I heard nothing. I know. I'm deaf to
that. But that's actually the thing about like, the thing that was so nice about renting for that long is that every time there was a problem like that, you'd call your landlord. And like sometimes, so there was a problem with the drains at one stage and they very nicely were like, I think you'll see in the lease that the drains are your responsibility. So I had to call the like Drano guys or whatever and get them to fix it.
Rosemary, 1,000,000%. There are many people in my office who have heard me say, I would never buy again. I should have rented. I should always rent. Why did I ever?
It is very
soothing. Do any of us buy? We should just rent.
And especially now that we're looking to sell, you're like looking around at like little problems that you totally live with. Do you know what I mean? You're like, that's not a big deal. That like hole in the wall from where there used to be a TV bracket. I don't even see it. But if you're trying to sell it, you're like, oh, you better patch that up. So annoying.
I'm actually very good at patching up holes. If you'd like me to come down and patch that for you.
I would, but there's a pandemic. You can't come into the house.
I'll put on my mask if you get out. If you and Brandon get out. Happily patch it for you. I'm very good. I've been told that my patching is next to.
Who told you this?
Don. And he's not forthcoming with the compliments, let me tell you.
You better start saying some nice things about Don, because remember somebody commented and said, is Don as annoying as Beatrice makes him sound?
Poor Don. He's so nice. Rosemary,
I know, you're the annoying one.
When you're staging your house, are you going to put up your birthday present from me? You're going to have to post that on the Instagram now to share with people.
My birthday present is already up. I sent a picture of it today to Kirsty McDermott and she said, oh my God, that's amazing.
Oh, did you send it to me?
No, I sent it to Kirsty McDermott.
Did you send a picture of where you hung it to me?
Oh, no, because actually I took a picture of it before I had hung it, but I will take a picture of it tomorrow in the nice light and I send it to you.
Post it on Instagram for everybody to see how much I love you and know you, and then leave it hanging up as a bait for these home buyers. It's very Fort Wayneian.
Bait for these
actually, what you really buyers. Need to put up is like the girl with the pearl earring or something. That's going to get all those home buyers like, oh, what a classic house.
I should actually borrow your girl with the scythe or whatever it's called, the one that you have in the basement. Granny's print, you know, the one.
Oh yeah, well, the glass is broken, but I also have a thing of fruit that I'll lend you. You can put it up. Looks very classic.
Oh no, sure. I have all my botanical prints, and then we have our grenades in the kitchen for all the gun lovers. They'll be delighted. Listen, on that note, we would love to hear your tales, good, bad, or indifferent, about renting, moving, landlording.
I'd like to hear about landlording, honestly.
Yeah, so would I. I remember I went on a date with a guy who. Do you remember that guy you were dying to marry. Oh my God. Even though, like, the.
I'd just like to put in there, you only went on one date, but, like, the fact that he owned 77 properties.
This is the guy that you imagined me going over my Game of Thrones first, because he invited me over to watch Game of Thrones. But he told me, when I asked him what he did, I mean, such a boring first date question, but I was like, oh, like, what do you do? And he basically was a landlord, and, like, the 5% of me that has any principles and is socialist was like, ugh. And the 95% of me that wants to have money was like, great, a rich man, finally.
But now that you say that, is that why you have that microphone covered in fur? Just wondering.
No, this is I actually don't know if there's any point in having the furry bit. I think it's for blocking the wind. I mean, it's like I'm not breaking wind nonstop in the bedroom, so I don't, like, it's for the outside. I'm not sure if there's any point in actually having it on.
I didn't know what you meant. I genuinely didn't know what you meant. Okay.
It's like a little Victorian muff. It is. For keeping your hands warm. I don't know what you're making the face for. You have a filthy mind.
Okay.
We'd love to hear your stories about renting, owning, buying, moving, landlording, fighting with your landlords.
Dating landlords.
Oh my God, imagine if somebody was listening to this going, a Game of Thrones fan who also owns several properties. I know who that is. Write in. Let us know.
Sorry. I can give a bit more detail. A Game of Thrones fans who also owns some properties and did not date Rosemary.
But said he really wanted to be my great friend. He thought we could have great conversations. That's what he said to me, Beatrice.
You could have started the podcast with him.
You can get in touch. Oh my God. And he also texted me that night. That night we had our date and was like, I've just listened to your podcast. It's so funny. You should be a comedian. And I was like, are you taking the piss? And he was like, no, you're really genuinely funny. And he said, I think you're one of the soundest people I've met.
What? Obviously, Rosemary, I'm sorry, but obviously insane.
Trying to butter me up for our best friends watching Game of Thrones together.
He was obviously nuts. Well, listen, was this podcast or your other extremely serious podcast?
It was my other extremely funny podcast.
Oh, the extremely. But like the one where you're like a lot more highbrow.
I think I'm at the same level.
Okay, the one where you have a little bit more opportunity to showcase your highbrowness.
The
and
one
you thought
where
you were
I interview people about intelligent topics.
Correct.
Like I try to do to you, but you drag me down to the gutter every single week. Thank you all so much for listening to Not Without My Sister. You can email us, notwithoutmysis@gmail.com. Get in touch via the website, notwithoutmysis.com. Check us out on Instagram at notwithoutmysister and individually on Instagram at Rosemary McCabe with an A in my Mac and Beatrice McCabe with an A in her Mac.
Look at you now at the end of this episode. You were in such a bad mood at the beginning and now the endorphins have lifted you right up. This is all about hanging out with your mates. Look at you. You're delighted.
Mood.
You're delighted now.
If you have 2 seconds and you could go onto Apple Podcasts and rate, review and subscribe, that would really help us. And wherever you're listening to this, if you could take a screenshot and share on Instagram stories or on Twitter, help spread the word. That would really be wunderbar, as they say in Germany.
Oh, sehr gut.
Thanks for listening.
Wellensittig.
Bye.
Bye.
Not Without My Sister is produced by Liam Geraghty. Sound and original music by... forgot his name. Not...
Sound and original music by the extremely pleasant, very patient and hilarious Don Kirkland.
Original illustration by Lindsay Nielsen.
Not Without My Sister is a member of The Warren.
As is our podcast, The Critter Shed.
For more great podcasts, hop along to thewarren.ie.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.